This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field. The gates are open. Folks are rolling in, getting ready for Rangers A's pregame at 1 o'clock. We will get to the game at about 1:35 right here on 105 Through the Fan. Another quick note, Yevgeny Dodonov is back at practice, or was back at practice yesterday.
Awesome.
For the Stars. He had been out the last couple of months. They play, as Mike has dubbed them, lose a peg this evening with an opportunity to clinch up the Central and the West all in one fell swoop.
Kevin, can I ask a question real quick? I know it was very serious sports content here, but we are out here at Globe Life Field as the Rangers fans are starting to pour in, and also known as Tolos.
Yes.
I had a couple over here ask me to take their picture.
Okay.
And I took about three or four different pictures for them with the stadium behind them.
Yeah.
Then I went to the restroom and came back, and on my way back I see them having somebody else take their picture. Did I do bad taking their picture, and they were like, this isn't good enough, we need somebody else?
Yep.
And Ruben did,
you're
too?
You're a bad picture taker.
So, Ruben, hold on. Now that's three different people that took their picture, Kevin. Mike, you're agreeing that I'm a bad picture taker.
Yeah.
Ruben's a bad picture taker, and maybe that last person got it right.
Well, let me ask you this, because I overheard them. Did you get me in it at all?
I don't think so. It was tall.
That's why.
They wanted famous Mike in there.
Yeah.
They wanted Mike's famous Mike
in
there.
Yeah, they were like, if there's any way, we don't want to bug them.
Yeah.
But if there's any
I
way,
didn't hear
Ruben
that part.
Made sure. I think I said, go ahead, put my shoulder in the picture.
So. How nice, how generous of you, yeah. Mike, to go ahead and grant that
for free,
to them.
If you want a free picture, Mike's shoulder gets in. If you want the full face.
Ruben got it done for him. I get it. I heard him. I was not going to say, do you want a picture with me? I'm past that point now in my life. But
you just know they all
they
do.
Have to ask. Yeah. They have to ask. Uh-huh. And I maybe will stand up and give a half smile for the picture.
This new edition of Mike's fame is really a good part of the show.
So generous of you. Let's fire off.
For no money? I mean, that is generous.
He's not wrong.
I mean, go on eBay right now.
You're right.
People are selling my cards.
It's the humbleness of it all. Your cards. Let's go to cut number five, because we need to talk some more about them Texas Rangers.
The pitch to Smith. Swung on. Line drive right field. Base hit. Around third is Carter. He's heading home. Here's the throw. He's safe. No tag by Langoliers. Around to third goes Adolis. Josh Smith continues to stay red hot and ties this game at one.
Indeed he does. I want to get to that in a minute, but we got power rankings from ESPN this morning. I want to start with this. Who are the three worst teams in all of the lands?
Not Oakland, man. They beat us. This is the rubber match. Game.
Mm-hmm. Are the Rockies still at the bottom of this thing?
Horrible.
They bad?
Chicago beat my guy Bibee. I had him starting in fantasy yesterday. Thanks a lot, White Sox, but you guys are probably in the bottom three.
The Colorado Rockies are the second worst team in baseball. The Chicago White Sox, the first worst team in baseball.
Miami's really bad, too. I'll say like Miami's worse than
Miami Marlins, fourth worst.
You got me. Oakland.
Oakland.
It is, in fact, the Oakland A's.
They'll regret that ranking.
Will they?
Yeah, I think they'll only be fourth
the
worst.
A's will regret it, or
ESPN will regret it for putting this out?
They're way off on Oakland. I think they're only the fourth worst team.
Okay. I feel like you can live with that if that's what happens. So yeah. Chicago, the worst, then Colorado, then the A's. But Mike says, incorrect, put the Marlins, and then the A's. What about at the top of the heap in Major League Baseball?
When were these made?
This morning.
This morning, big win over Oakland, leading the division.
You don't
five.
Think Texas is one. No, who's number one?
Dodgers.
Yankees.
The Dodgers are number one.
I said that first. I'll stick with it.
I had you questioning yourself.
Well, the Yankees are what, 11, 10 and 0?
They're very good. You know who's not
what?
Good?
10 and 1, something like that?
Where's Kansas City? Are they number two? They're destroying Houston every night.
Kansas City is not number two. Would you like to take another guess?
Yankees?
Yankees are not number two. Would you like to take one more guess?
Stick with Atlanta?
Astros.
It is the Atlanta Braves. By the way, the Yankees are 10-3.
Where are they ranked in the rankings?
The Dodgers are one, the Braves are two, and the Yankees are three.
Okay.
Now, do you put Rangers?
Yes. I would add them one, but ESPN's dumb for not. They won the World Series, Kevin.
I realize that.
We won the World Series.
Right before they made this, we lost to Oakland.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. We won the World Series.
We won yesterday against Oakland.
We did
That's
beat Oakland.
Fresh in their mind.
Yeah, they should have added that to the list.
They're going to be right there with, I don't have the records pulled up, but I bet Baltimore is right around this.
Baltimore is number four. And, Corey, I didn't make the list.
I feel like I should be mad at you for making this list.
And the Texas Rangers are number five.
Next thing you're going to tell me is Philly was six.
That is true. I will also tell you this.
The
Rangers are the highest on the list with the worst record.
All right.
So at 7-5, they have a worse record than all the teams above them.
From the 817, Kevin, acknowledge the Rangers.
I acknowledge the Rangers. I'll throw up the one.
We did our Orioles talk, though. We just named them number four.
Yeah, we did our Orioles. But we only needed to do 30 seconds a week, right? Wasn't that
That's
it?
Right. We've already covered that.
Hey, they're ranked number four, and Jackson Holliday got off to a great start going 0-4.
Yeah.
Take that, rookie of the year
did
candidate.
Wyatt Langford start his year off 0-4?
I'm going to do more Baltimore Orioles talk for a Baltimore Oriole fan.
Uh-oh.
I heard this morning watching a YouTube on baseball. The person was like, I wonder if Baltimore looked at how great Jackson Holliday was doing, one, in the minor leagues for a short amount of time, and then, two, looked at Wyatt Langford only hitting singles and said, we got this rookie of the year. Why waste it?
Maybe so.
I'm not
Why are they doing
say that?
That? Why are they taking shots at my Wyatt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has only hit a lot of singles. I saw him hit a triple. The Rangers themselves have really – I was asking you earlier. I was joking about it. We haven't hit a lot of home runs so far.
No, and I'm
a lot
wondering –
of doubles.
It's a good question. I think that maybe teams are fearful of really challenging the Rangers at times. I think the home runs will happen. But I don't know. I was just wanting to know how many singles does Jackson Holliday have in his career in the major leagues?
He has zero.
How many extra base hits does Jackson Holliday have in his major league career?
Obviously, the answer is still going to be zero if he has no regular
base. I don't know. Joey Gallo might have like 40 home runs and zero singles in a year.
Yeah, how many home runs does he have, Kevin?
Zero.
From
like Wyatt Langford.
From the 469 K-Dog, say the Rangers' name.
I just said I love and acknowledge the Rangers.
Number five is fair.
Yes.
I'll take five.
Thank you.
I think we're going to learn. It's early in the year, but I think after this game is over, I'm really hoping John Gray has a solid game. J.P. Sears is pitching on the other side. He's off to a bad start, too. So it's two guys that are struggling to start their season. But, hey, we're about to go to Houston. Detroit ain't bad. I don't know where they're at in the power rankings. I'm going to guess right around 14 or 15. I'm going to guess on Detroit. And then you go to Atlanta, who you just named as the number two team in baseball.
Yeah.
So we're going to learn a lot here on this 10-game road trip, yeah.
Okay, can I stick with some Rangers conversation here since we got Rangers coming up here in a little bit? Is your concern about this team right now starting pitching?
No.
Bats? I feel like runs will happen.
At the end of the year, this is going to be at worst – the fifth best offensive team in baseball.
And whenever I say starting pitching is, I feel like me, this is me, I'm not Bochy, so it's very different. I'm looking at it going, I still don't know what to expect out of three of my pitchers right now.
Who's the third one?
It is Cody Bradford. I don't know. Mike was discussing it this morning. I think it's great what he's done in these two quality starts, three really good starts overall. But I'm like, will I wait all season for the other foot to drop? You know, will I wait all season for that? That's fine. If I wait all season, I'm happy. But I'm looking at it going, Heaney and Gray, I have big time question marks about. And so I'm uncertain. Now, Boach might go, I know exactly what I'm getting from them, and I'm prepared that if they're on that day, then I'm good. And if they're not, then I got to go to my bullpen. But me, personally, on my side of it, I'm like, I don't have certainty about everything there.
I think the thing that makes me feel a little bit better is whether it's Lorenzen, whether it's Leiter, at least I know the next few guys up if Gray and Heaney continue to struggle.
I watch Scherzer throw just flat ground work. It looked good. You could tell like it wasn't super sharp, but you got to remember he's just to the point where he is throwing live to hitters. So it's not going to look like he's in mid-season form right now. I like what you're saying, Kevin. I like what you're saying, Corey. I will still right now, because Jose Leclerc is off to a rough start, because Spores is hurt, because the two other guys that have gotten off to really good starts in Robertson and Yates are older relief pitchers. And as far as I know that there's Mark Church. I know that Grant Anderson's up and down type of guy right now. Is we don't have, or you don't feel like you have the next, I know people are going to be like, who the crap is this? But Mason Miller, who I just saw throw for the Oakland Athletics. I don't think we have a dude throwing 100 to 102 miles an hour in AA, AAA right now who's going to be ready to just close games out the way I just saw Oakland close the first game out of the series. So I am concerned overall about the bullpen as this early season progresses.
Now, I wanted to throw this out there as a positive about the offense. You heard the highlight. Josh Smith, he has been off to a really good start. He's hitting .333. He already has 7 RBIs and OPS of .845. I know it's early.
And Boach went out of his way yesterday with us to talk about Josh Smith.
Yes, and so I decided to go do some investigating on Josh Smith, and he said something that I thought was really amazing in terms of, I guess, kind of his hot start. He talked about an adjustment he made in his stance, and one of the things he said, and this is so honest, I love it, he goes, well, I was hitting like .150, so that's kind of annoying, and I felt like I had to make some changes. I love that kind of realization when it's not just a, hey, I get it, you're going to get to the other side, or it's all going to work out. But he's like, oh, yeah, no, it was terrible, and I needed to change.
Sometimes you try to make this game so simple, but it is so difficult. And it's difficult on both sides. But sticking with hitting here, and I know I'm not going directly to Josh Smith. He's doing the job that Ezekiel Duran did last year. And if you remember, it was supposed to be Josh Smith replacing Corey Seager when Seager hurt his hamstring running out of double. But then Ezekiel Duran, a week into kind of the competition on who's going to replace Corey Seager, Zeke took off. Right now, this is tough to say. He's doing about the same job that Josh Jung is doing. Josh Jung is tremendous defensively, and yesterday it looked like that could have been a costly error. Luckily, they only scored one run on the error in the first inning from Josh Smith. But then he came up in the first inning and got the big 2 RBI base hit. And he's hitting well. Last year, he got on base at like a 31% clip, batting under .200. That's tough to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it shows that he can get on base. So if that batting average, let's just say, improves to .250 this year, which would be a big jump.
I think it's possible.
You might have a .350 on base percentage guy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field. And coming up next, we will talk with Jared Sandler as part of the Expressway. But also, Corey, what is the segment we're going directly to?
Corey's Cool With It, which is going to feature Mike's card collection next on The Fan.
Ooh.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, asking the questions that matter. Like, was that a Christmas song that Chris just came back with? Yeah. I have questions about that. Also, we're live at Globe Life Field. The Mavericks victorious yesterday. That's win number 50. Two 50-win campaigns for Jason Kidd in his three seasons. In the 10 years before that, one time.
I have an idea. I mean, that is great for Jason Kidd. Congratulations to him on that. But, Kevin, I have an idea for Luka next year to get MVP.
Okay.
And this is not part of Corey's cool with it, but since we're here, we might as well rock with it.
Take it.
He should do bits all year next year where he goes out there and he's like, you know what? I'm only shooting three-pointers in this game. And then he scores like 50 points and three-pointers. Or he says,
how's that going to work?
I'm only
That's not a three-point number. It's got to be 51 or 48.
Okay, that sounds good to me, man. Yeah, whatever. Math guy. So I'm only going to shoot three-pointers. Well, so he got fouled on one of them or two of them. The other bit is like, you know, he could do, I'm only going out there and dunking today, or I'm only going
to
do assists.
I just want bits.
And him to say, I'm still going to be awesome, but I'm only going to do one thing so y'all can't say that that something else is this because I told you what I'm going to do today.
Yeah.
So he's like, and then I accomplished it. Because as Jason Kidd said, Jason Kidd was like, the game's just too easy. He makes it look too easy.
Sure.
And for a long time, there were people that were frustrated with Dirk. And I got to a point where I was like, maybe Dirk's never going to win a championship. But for right now, I just kind of want to enjoy watching Dirk play because he's unique to the game. He's somebody we've never seen play. And so instead of like worrying about the playoffs and worrying about all that, I'm just going to enjoy watching what the dude does. And I think I'm about to be like, I am almost settled in with that with Luka. I was like, well, maybe we never do it. But now they got a team that looks like they can do it. So now I'm like, okay, now let's lean in on this. So that's where I am with Luka, his career. And congratulations to Jason Kidd. So I guess we're going to keep him around, sounds like.
I still wonder, let's say you're fully healthy, you lose to the Clippers. I don't know about that.
Interesting.
I think they will. I think this run that they've had the last approximately 20 games of the season, I think it could be concerning if they lose in the first round, especially if you feel like Jason Kidd isn't coaching well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it would put him on strict notice that, all right, let's win 55 to 60 games and make a playoff run. If you can't, then maybe they would have to move on and go, you're not playoff ready. But I think he's bought himself another year.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good controversy for the playoffs, and then end of this offseason. Hopefully, Kevin, we don't have that moment. Hopefully, it's just a big dub, and we can just be like,
for sure.
And Kevin never believed the entire time.
I don't want that 877 attached to me.
881-1053. Will y'all go in on that bit? Because y'all love the bits that we do.
I think they're the third best team in the NBA. That's pretty damn good.
The other thing, too, is I feel like from now on, we don't call him Mike anymore. I think it has to be Famous Mike. And if it's not Famous Mike, what are we really doing here? He's already established he is the Mike of DFW with McCarthy.
Mike on the mic.
Yeah, Mike. He McCarthy had to be Mike McCarthy. Mike Maddox is Mike Maddox. Mike Bassett, just Mike. So a Famous Mike, I think, just to even establish more of that. as we go on here. Now, Mike, you also
tough. I've always been so humble.
Yeah, you always have been.
Oh, my ass, you have.
And now, well, I mean,
the fame hasn't changed him. That's what's amazing.
Hopefully, the rest of your body comes around. You know?
I believe fame has not changed you, but I do not believe humbleness is at the top of your attribute list.
The Mike, you have, and I want to ask the Tolos out there: what's the first thing you get when you walk into the ballpark? What is the first thing you're after? Is it a is there a certain beer you like out here? Is there a hot dog you like out here? Is there a stand? Because now, you know, we got Whataburger. We have all these new additions to the stadium. What is the first thing you get when you walk out here? Mike, you're very invested in the slushy machines behind us.
Yeah.
Kevin, so much so that he was yelling at people to not get the beers.
Yeah,
he was
telling them to slush it up.
Yeah. So, Kevin, do you think that slushies are a very important part to the stadium venture?
I guess so. I have to admit, the slushy with alcohol in it is an intriguing concept.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. I bet slushy sales are down since they moved to this building.
Oh, because it's not
it's like 105 degrees. Yeah. You're like, yes.
That's a good point.
I need
when you saw that giant margarita or whatever, you're like, I don't care what it costs. I need it.
And I'm drinking it in a hurry because it's cold.
Yeah.
And that's a great point.
Right now, like, I'm a little cool right now. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little cold in the building. I feel like they've jacked the AC up a little bit too much. They can take it down a couple degrees. Take it up, I guess, a couple degrees.
Do you think they have that giant thing that they just pull down, like the old manual air conditioning, and they're like, hold on, slide the giant thing down just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
If it's 70 degrees in here right now, let's crank it to 72. It's a little too cold in here.
And at my house, at nighttime, they all turn it down to 69. And I'm like, come on, what are we doing here, guys? It's always it's too cold.
That is a comfortable temperature.
All right, so here's what I really wanted to get to with Corey's Cool With It. And that is, Mike was looking at some Corey Seager cards earlier. And this is, I was watching what you were doing. I was like, man, that's $1.99 for that card. Now, it was probably a base card, and it's not like anything super special or anything. But when it comes to Corey Seager, I am a Rangers fan. And while the Dodgers are like my second team, I want to collect Corey Seager Ranger cards, not Corey Seager Dodger cards, but that's his rookie card. And so that's where, if I wanted to collect something that is probably going to be valuable, if he turns out to be the Hall of Famer that we think he's going to be, and by the way, Jared Sandler has sat down at the table. He'll be with us for the rest of the half hour here. I would rather collect Corey Seager stuff than I would Dodgers stuff. Jared, your thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on collecting? Well, you love Corey Seager for the championship speech alone.
Well, I loved him from our time together with the Great Lakes Loons. So I don't want to totally derail this, but I was watching an MLB Network promo last night. I guess they're doing a show on cards on Sundays, and it never occurred to me, are cards called cards because of cardboard? Because the promo made it seem like the original cards were maybe made out of cardboard. That's why.
Is that the answer?
So
okay.
Think that is correct.
Yeah. So I'm not an idiot though for
I didn't know that either. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of it.
I like Corey Seager. I don't understand the card market because Mike says you got to hit like 100 home runs a year for a card to be valuable. Yet he buys cards like he drinks water, so I'm not sure how this all works.
Yeah, I make major mistakes and just have fun doing it.
Yeah.
There is a market, though, Corey, for the first card of the player in the new uniform. Like, I know Soto with the Yankees, obviously Ohtani with the Dodgers. So your market will still be lower, but there's something there.
Here's the great news for you and for fans of Rangers that didn't come up as Rangers, is that the cards are going to be cheap.
Yeah.
Corey Seager Ranger cards are cheap. Marcus Semien Ranger cards are cheap. Adolis Garcia Ranger cards are cheap. Like, it's great if you want to have a personal collection of this championship team, of their individual player cards. They're going to be cheap because they weren't a rookie with the Texas Rangers. Yeah. Even Adolis Garcia rookie cards are St. Louis Cardinal rookie cards. So they can hold a special place in your heart. I tell people with cards, I think a lot of them need to hold a special place in your heart, or you need to make it more of a business where you have no connection at all and you're literally just trying to buy a card and within 24 hours to almost 1 month sell that card.
So when you buy like a million Evan Carter cards,
personal decision.
Okay, is it emotional? Because Mike kind of frames it like it's a business.
Famous Mike frames it that way. There's some emotion tied in.
Yeah, there's emotion tied into it.
So here's my thing with cards, and I was like a lot of kids. I mean, cards was such a huge part of my childhood, but I didn't understand the business side of it at all. Right, like I thought it was cool to look at the back of the cards,
learn the stats.
Yeah. I guess what's frustrating, I think it would be such a fun way to maybe teach kids about, I don't know.
The stock market.
Investing, right? But like a way, because they don't, some four-letter symbol, some company, they don't understand that.
Right.
It just, I don't like how there's, it's such an elite group of cards that can become valuable. I wish it was more tied on a one-to-one ratio with like a player success. So, Take your favorite role player. His card's not going to be super valuable, but it's going to be more valuable than the 4A player who has a tough time staying up. And then, you know, I heard you mention yesterday, I think when I was driving home from the ballpark, they were replaying one of your segments from yesterday, that in order for Wyatt Langford's card to be valuable, he's got to probably win the Rookie of the Year, but that you said the prices are dropping, right? But, like, it seems like if you're not the Rookie of the Year, if you're not the MVP, if you're not, like, no-brainer all-star, your card has no value. And I just don't like...
No, it doesn't. And
Corey
Seager
is a great example of that, right? You can get Corey Seager is a great, great player in Major League Baseball. You can get all kinds of his stuff for nothing.
Yeah, he's a guy that is borderline Hall of Fame career, two-time MVP of the World Series, which he's in the category of Reggie Jackson, Bob Gibson, and Sandy Koufax. Those are the only three to ever do it. And he's the fourth. And you wouldn't really know it by his collectability. Sometimes it does matter who you play for at times, because there's more collectors of Yankees than there are of Rangers. But, you know, it's always fun. I was showing this is for if you're a fan of Corey Seager and you're like, I want one of his first cards or a rookie card, but I don't want it to be a Dodger. In 2010, Bowman made him on Team USA when he was in high school. So he was on the high school USA team. So you can get his first ever card. Has nothing to do
That's
with the
really
Dodgers.
Cool.
It's like a USA
bucks.
Card.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a question. And I hope there are people out there like me who love sports but maybe don't understand the card stuff. And these aren't dumb questions. But average an average card in your just run-of-the-mill set is produced how many times?
This year, Topps produced... just for Evan Carter, but every player, the base card was produced about 900,000 times.
Okay.
That's a lot.
So obviously that volume impacts the value, right?
Right.
So a card that's produced once is going to be more valuable.
Let's say a Wyatt Langford one of one rookie card, which isn't available yet, but at some point will be.
And there's for
so
a one of
one
there's going to
be the only one in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the only one of that picture that it'll be numbered one of one. But this year, Wyatt Langford or Evan Carter, both of them, will have about 150 one of one cards.
Different types.
They'll
of
be
one
different.
Of ones.
There'll be different pictures in different sets, but there will be about 150 different one-of-one rookie cards of Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter.
And those guys are really good players. I'm just curious, if you had a one-of-one card for...
Ezekiel Duran.
Is that going to be super valuable because it's one-of-one and
it'll
it's
probably
rare?
Be somewhere between, I'm going to guesstimate, $50 to $150.
Yeah, okay. I think that's an accurate estimate.
But like the Wyatt Langford one would be...
anywhere from $2,500 for certain one-of-ones to $150,000 for
an autograph one-of-one rookie
insane.
Card.
I was watching Evan Carter yesterday in the clubhouse sign cards, obviously through some contractual...
Yeah.
Agreement. He was sitting there signing, and they were joking that because, you know, his whole thing is Savior.
Yeah.
They call him so when, he, you know, his little hand gesture thing when he gets on base for people who haven't seen is he puts his hands together like he's praying and kind of bows. And I'm sure, you know, there's a religious component to it that I'm not equipped to speak about. Maybe Kevin's family is, though, because they're more on that side.
That was last week.
They were joking that he should just sign it as a cross. Like, it should just be a cross. Not Evan Carter, whatever. Just sign it as a cross. What if he would have signed one in that batch in a certain way? Would that...
Josh
Young did this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember reading about that.
Yeah. And we all think it's great. Like, I want to see that card in real life. I want to see it. I want to
put glasses on himself.
That's right. Yeah, he kind of. Yeah, yeah.
There's
he
a wrote premium
of,
on that.
He
for
wrote
sure.
one of one on it. So like it, and it does. It does kind of create a different value because that's something. Again, this goes to the Corey Seager bat. That's a unique thing that doesn't exist anywhere else, and everybody wants a piece of that.
What's
so.
Your what are each of your white whale cards? Like you just you it's a ghost to you.
So I think it's the. So I have a nice version of the Gretzky Topps rookie, but the Opeachy rookie is significantly more limited, and then the price, as you can probably guess, goes up pretty exponentially. And so that is something I would like to chase down and
Opeachy
get.
Is a brand?
Like yeah, Topps? Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. And so essentially it's just like it's the same company that was doing it. It's just a smaller batch.
Too many cards come to mind for me.
Anything
but
Will Clark, yeah.
Really?
I'm just joking. There's a Willie Mays card that like he was my the book I read every year. Yeah. Willie Mays Mickey
52
Mantle.
52 Topps is obviously an iconic set because it's the first year ever Topps produces cards. 51 is Bowman, so Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays have Bowman 51 cards. Those are considered their rookies, but 52 is somewhat considered a rookie because it's the first year Topps ever makes cards, and Mickey Mantle was short printed. In that they didn't make as many Mickey Mantles as, like, let's say Willie Mays's. So that would be one. And then I think of in 1933, there's a beautiful card called Gowdy, and Babe Ruth
yes.
has multiple cards in that. But the one that I like is where he's kind of finishing a swing kind of deal, and there's a lot of color to it. It's beautiful. So those are cards that come to mind that I would just love to. I'll never own. I'm not ever spending $50,000 to $500,000. $100,000 on a card.
And I'm sorry if this is like awful radio that I'm just asking all these questions, but I got one last question. So like money is printed, but there are plates that create, are there plates for cards? And
yeah.
Are those sold? Are they valuable?
Actually, believe it or not, those plates don't carry as much value as you might think.
They're cool,
But there are people who love them. I have several printing plates,
okay, cool.
And they're very cool. You can get them. That is a newer phenomenon.
We pulled a Jameis Winston one a long
yes,
time ago. And
yes,
you got it? Okay.
That
yeah,
is
that
a newer, maybe in the last 10 years or so.
I had never seen
done.
Anything like that. So when I saw it, I was like, what is this? And I thought it was just the coolest thing. And you were like, yeah, it's cool, but it's more like a people are collecting type thing.
Exactly, exactly.
So. And then speaking of collection, so the ring, Jason of Beverly Hills was on our pregame show, and I was asking him a bunch of questions on and off air. He was saying that there's a guy who, because I asked him how much the ring that
yeah.
it retails for, $75,000. He's just got a guy that he wants all of the championship rings every year.
Just no matter
that,
what?
He's like a known, because like, he's a known buyer.
Wow.
And it's just like, yeah, you don't even have to ask. Like, it's
just
like,
make
hey,
an extra
75,000, do you want it? It's
yeah.
like, all right, dude, here, you know, 75, cool. Like, that's a well, that's a neat collection to have. It's pretty
yes,
valuable.
It is.
I know.
I wonder, does he have
what does
I
he do
how,
for
why don't you guys
living?
Get in that market?
I wonder how far back he has.
Yeah,
like,
I
wonder if he has one of the first ones and if he's collected that far back
moly.
Into it.
I can't believe it. You need to ask for some raises so you can get into that collection game.
Yeah,
well,
so we can get a ring at
gonna,
some point.
It's
going
to be
yeah.
a while before I ask for a raise.
So. Now, on the Rangers front, we were obviously talking about how much we're digging Cody Bradford so far. How much does a curveball and the effectiveness of his curveball play in to the success he's had?
Yeah, well, I'll answer it, and then Mike will give you the better answer because I feel weird answering this next to this guy. But so when I've talked to Cody, what he has said is, well, I'll provide kind of the origin of the curveball with Cody. So before he had thoracic outlet at Baylor, it was a pitch he threw really well. Had thoracic outlet, didn't really quite have the feel for the curveball. You know, it's all about what, supination or pronation, which I always get them confused. And so last year, he was pretty much a two-pitch pitcher. He threw a cutter, he threw a slider, but they weren't that effective. He was basically a two-pitch guy. And you can be a two-pitch guy if you're yeah. going to be a reliever. You can yeah. be a two-pitch guy if you're going to be a two-times-through-the-order guy. But if Cody Bradford was going to have success as a starting pitcher, he needed to add a third pitch. Mike Maddox's charge to him was, you need to throw a pitch that goes down, right? And in Cody's head, his curveball was not a weapon he wanted to explore because he couldn't throw it hard. He thought that I needed to make this a power-type pitch to be effective. Mike Maddox said, no. The slower, the better. Don't worry about that. And that kind of helped Cody get in the frame of mind, like, all right, maybe this can be a good pitch. And
that's
a separate conversation about, like, conviction and just the mental game and convincing pitchers that they can do it. And so he worked on the pitch. And with Cody, it's not a swing and miss pitch yet.
Yeah.
You know, his whiff rate on it is only 11%, which for a breaking ball is really low. But he can throw it for a strike. And so it's a dangerous pitch. It can either steal a strike early in at bat, or it just gives hitters something else to think about. So now they can't just sit fastball changeup. And he might not like throwing the changeup left on left. So for lefties, it gives them a different pitch type, pitch speed to think about in juxtaposition with the fastball. And so I think that pitch has room to get better and maybe become more of a swing and miss pitch. But right now it's effective in the way he's using it. Is that fair? I mean, you tell me.
Yeah, right? It's not a great pitch. I'm not trying to take anything away from Cody Bradford. It's not a great pitch, but what makes it effective is he's throwing it for a first pitch strike. And hitters aren't looking for it because he doesn't throw it much.
Yeah.
He's throwing it, you would know,
about,
I don't have it.
Between 15 and 20% of the time.
So you're not going to go up there and go, I'll tell you what, it's not a good breaking ball, so I'm going to sit on first pitch breaking ball here. You only have approximately a 15% chance of him throwing it, and then throwing it where it's really hittable is another percentage off of that. But he's throwing enough of them for a strike that now the hitter goes, this is how we think as a pitcher. And usually hitters will confirm this. Oh, okay, first pitch curveball. He's going to do that again. And then he doesn't do it again in that at bat. Or when he does it again, I'm going to be ready for it. And then he does a good job of throwing it below the zone where it's very tough to make good contact with it. And so you see it, you're like, I can hit it. I saw it first pitch. It's in my mind. Just a minute ago I saw it. It's hittable. It's in the zone. And then you commit to it, and now it's out of the zone, and you're like, S-O-B.
Yeah.
So he's really smart with it so far that he's not using it a lot because it's not a great pitch, but he's using it enough that the hitter's thinking about it.
I also wonder, sorry to interrupt here, but how much Heim's communication with him on that and understanding of it is important too.
I thought Heim got him 5 balls into strikes yesterday. Now, maybe,
wow.
Maybe DeJesus was behind the plate. Maybe he just has a bigger zone, and I don't know his tendencies as an umpire caller, but there were at least 5 pitches that I thought were 2 to 3 inches off the outside corner that he got called for a strike, which then made it even better for Bradford because then guys started having to fish for that ball just off the plate because Jonah was doing such a great job of framing that pitch off the plate.
Steve Sparks, who does radio for the Astros, came in, obviously, when the Astros were in town, and he – you know, he knows the data. He knows that Jonah is as good of a strike stealer as anyone in baseball. Yeah. But he just said watching him behind the plate. And Steve was a knuckleballer, so he's got an appreciation for catchers who can receive pitches. And he said that there's no one he enjoys watching receive pitches more than Jonah Heim because of what Mike just shared, his ability to help the pitcher out in that way. Now, to your original question, Corey, Cody's been incredibly complimentary of Jonah in his game calling and his – understanding of when to use that curveball. So, whether it's Jonah or Mike Maddox, and in all these cases, it's such a team effort, right? And when you've got a guy who you trust behind the plate, it doesn't matter. Mike can be my catcher, and 17 people can believe that Mike is the worst game caller in the league. But if I think Mike's a great game caller,
conviction,
then I'm going to believe that when he puts down a certain pitch, that or presses a button now, I guess, that's the right pitch, and it's going to help me mentally execute that pitch. And that's something that Cody Bradford's talked about.
While the stock for Cody Bradford is going up, what about Brock Burke? Because it feels like the struggle's been there. He has not developed perhaps that secondary overwhelming pitch. What is to become of him?
So, first of all, you know these gambling commercials where there's the fine print, like here's the number to call?
You think Mike should call that for sure, right?
For card purchasing.
Yeah.
If you know someone who's got a problem, please call 1-8-whatever.
Yeah.
Over,
definitely.
Do we need to start adding those to card commercials?
He's currently
We need to add
like
them to
bidding.
Mike's segment.
Right now.
What did he just buy?
He found a plate.
Next thing you know, Dave Valley's going to be sick. so that Mike picks up more games because Mike poisoned him because he's got to pick up another game check.
I got to get all these printing plates.
My goodness.
It's just an offer. It doesn't mean I bought it yet.
He just loves Evan Carter.
It's just I care about you. So here's the thing with Brock Burke. When Brock Burke throws 95, 96, Matt Duffy talked about this. He was in camp with the Rangers in Round Rock. When Brock Burke's throwing 95, 96, it feels like he's literally handing the ball to the catcher. It is very tough to hit. But when he's hitting 92, 93 on the radar gun, that's a big difference. And, you know, I think Brock's first outing this year, he came out charging 95, 96. His last outing the other day, was it the finale or finale against the or the A's, right?
Yeah.
He's throwing 92, 93.
Yeah.
Is it a health thing? Is it a in-between outing body preparation thing? Is it a conviction thing? I don't know. And obviously, if the Rangers knew, if Brock knew, then but that's a big difference. Now, yes, it would be awesome if he developed a wipeout slider, and that just hasn't been the case. But in the way in which the Rangers want to use him, he can get away with having the complementary stuff he has if his fastball is at 95, 96. He did that 2 years ago and posted a sub-2 ERA.
Yeah.
But the fastball velocity delta from outing to outing, I think that's what's getting him in trouble.
If you watch Brock Burke pitch, so if you're on Twitch right now, hopefully you can see me. I think this about Brock Burke. I don't know this, but I think this. When he lifts and he throws, his shoulders start going almost over his heels a little bit. And I think when he does this, it makes it difficult to execute a good breaking ball. And So I think he kind of gets over the top, and that ball can be seen a little bit better. I would want to, if I was trying to make a mechanical adjustment with Brock Burke to get him to throw a better secondary pitch and maybe command his fastball a little bit better, is make sure his shoulders stay over his toes. I don't want him to get short or small or anything like that or crouchy, but I want his shoulders over his toes a little bit more than over his heels. But who am I? He has Mike Maddox as a pitching coach. But when I watch it, I'm
valid.
Like, I wonder if he can execute a really good slider with where he's at balance-wise when he's lifting his leg up.
Jared, thank you very much, as always, for bringing a wealth of baseball knowledge to us.
See, guys, good questions.
I hope Mike doesn't just blow all his money on cards.
He will.
Yeah, I can't rule that out. All right, so it's a printing plate that you put in an offer for $500.
Well, listen,
for.
Last time I told all the Tolos what I was doing, they bought it.
Good point.
Never
all
let
right.
them know your next move.
I got to go sign for fans and
you
stuff.
You got see Rangers A's coming up next pregame at 1 o'clock. First pitch, 1:35. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. We'll be back tomorrow. Full show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.